I don't even have a chest.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to number 339, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Evangelist on the internet, and my friend over here's name is Seth on and off the internet, because he's unified. He's gone for the one straight path branding for himself. Hi, Seth. How you doing?
Hi. Well, not 100%.
That was close.
I'm Seth Buzzard Online, which isn't my real last name.
Should be.
Yeah, I guess.
Hi, I'm Mr. Buzzard. Welcome to WTF at TFW, our little Transformers podcast where we sometimes talk about Transformers. It's true. We're getting very close to the cusp of Toy Fair, which is going to be a whole schmoz and whack of toy news. But as we're ramping up to it, there are tons and tons and tons of little leaks and little rumors and slightly substantiated and slightly unsubstantiated rumors flying in all over the place. I have made the executive decision that unless it comes up naturally, we don't really need to, like, make a point of talking about any of them, because within, like, 40 days, we're going to know a lot of that stuff more concretely, and then we'll be talking about it with probably actual pictures. So I figured I'd just cover that off the bat in case anyone out there is like, why aren't they talking about the rumors? Seth, have you seen some of the rumors flying around?
No.
Oh, there's rumors of a Combiner Wars Devastator. There's rumors of a Combiner Wars Cyclonus, I believe I saw the other day.
Cyclonus?
Yeah, as a torso. If I saw that front page thing right, I've all the different front pages have been like this mire of glue stick, and people with bags full of rumor sprinkles are just like coming by every day, dropping a few more everywhere.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks I've been terrible on keeping up.
It's okay. You're skipping a whole lot of, like, it's kind of exciting, but it's somewhat redundant talk because it's all about stuff we're going to know soon.
Yeah. And it does sound a little crazy that they're going to be, going into non-Scramble City combiners and just start combining other dudes so soon.
I mean, this all comes with the if of if any of this is truly,
yeah,
you know, actually going to happen.
Truly true.
Truly, truly, truly.
I guess we'll find out at Toy Fair.
Yeah, or if someone just starts leaking pictures, you know, that could happen too.
That could happen too. That's probably going to happen.
Probably will happen right before Toy Fair, I expect. Someone will want to get a scoop somewhere. But we do have one little piece of Combiner Wars news that we can talk about, because I figure it's also worth bringing up briefly, because it's just been dropped. You remember the fan-built bot poll? They're doing another one, but it's for a fan-built combiner. So this is the same poll system that created the Windblade character, and apparently Hasbro is going to be doing this for a original combiner character. They're going to do it through their Transformers app, which is not out yet. Apparently the current Transformers Age of Extinction app is going to become the official Transformers brand app, and that's where the voting will be done rather than their website. All I really have to say here is, if Nunchaku are on there as weapons and we don't get Nunchaku on this Transformer, I'm going to flip some tables over and I'm disappointed in all of you. Apparently,
well,
the,
get ready for a combiner team of all female robots with kabuki makeup.
So on Twitter, we've been kind of like figuring out the most likely scenario so far, and we're kind of all coming to an agreement that, you know, a team of combining lady robots who all turn into boats and are carrying bow staffs and nunchucks would be the ideal situation.
They're going to be boats this time.
Everyone just on Twitter was just started saying boats, and I was sitting there looking at it going like, you know what? That actually seems fairly likely if that's an option, because there aren't a whole lot of boats right now. There are a lot of trucks and jets.
And if everyone decides to be crazy about it, and let's force Hasbro to do something nuts. Go for an all-female boat team with Ninja Turtle weapons.
Yeah, Ninja Turtle weapons. Ninja Turtle weapons, boats. Yes. So apparently, if you look at the pattern that Windblade followed, whatever the results of this poll are, we'll probably know them by the end of the year. And this toy will probably be like a late 2016 toy at best. This certainly isn't going to be a toy that's going to come out, like, you know, this year, if they're putting together some of its concepts this year.
But maybe 2017.
At late 2016 is a maybe, I think.
It depends on how long the voting and everything goes for. Because the voting for Wingblade, that was a while.
Yeah.
That was an ongoing thing, so.
I'm wondering if they're going to, like, I don't know, going by, like, what was voted on for Wingblade, if they're going to be able to, like, clean it up a bit, have maybe a few, like, a more streamlined thing. Maybe there's more predetermined this time around.
I think it would make sense to streamline it, if for no other reason than because if they're doing a whole team, you got a lot more characters to be voting about. Unless it's more you're just voting for the theme.
That's the other thing I'm wondering about is, like, I don't think we're going to be voting on the characteristics of, like, four or five toys. I think it's going to be, like, the theme, the combiner, maybe details about the torso robot, but it seems like from the description it's about a fan-built combiner, not a fan-built team of bots or anything. So we'll see when it launches, but that's coming up soon. Maybe it's already up now when you're listening to this, I'm not sure. Or if you're backtracking through the archives and this has already happened, then how'd it go? Let me know, person from the future. Seth, you thinking you might pop in a vote or 17 on this thing, depending on how it works?
Yeah, I'll check it out. As long as the, whatever the official Transformer app isn't, like, doing creepy stuff like some apps do and, like, tracking my whereabouts. And
just riddled with malware.
Yeah, we're accessing your location data, whether you like it or not. Just gotta keep an eye on where you're at for some reason.
We're just assembling a file on where you live. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Anyway, that's happening soon. What else is happening soon? New picture picks. It's happening so soon. It's happening right now. Seth, tell me about your new picture pick.
Well, it's a picture of goats.
Goats?
Yeah, clear, transparent cassette goats. Year of the Goat sound wave seems to be a thing.
Yep.
And if transparent cassettes are part of the package, I'm probably way more interested in this than I have been in any of the other Year of the Blanks. Because just based on these pictures, they already look cool. Mm-hmm. If not the idea of how intricate some of those cassettes are, like specifically the Buzzsaw Laserbeak mold, the inclusion of clear plastic parts seems a little frightening. but they look really cool, and the idea of doing cassettes with clear parts and not them being like solid opaque and actually being clear, like some cassette tapes were back in the days. It seems like a really cool idea.
Yeah. Year of the Goat Soundwave is coming with all of the cassettes except for Ratbat.
Because they're jerks.
Yep. And Soundwave himself is also done in clear plastic, and then he has all these copper paint apps done over parts of his body, as I understand it. Uh-huh. And it kind of bums me out because there were some photos leaking of, I guess, like a factory test shot of just a clear plastic Soundwave with his eyes painted. And I thought it looked really cool. And that seems to be what Year of the Goat is, except they added a whole ton of copper paint apps to, like, chunks of his legs and stuff. And I'm kind of like, I'd be more into it if it was just invisible Soundwave, so I could, like, see the workings of that toy, like, inside of him. With, like, the cassette launching gimmick, or not launching, but the cassette storage gimmick and everything.
Well, when I first saw the story, and I'm just sort of skimming, like, the very short paragraph of information because I couldn't be bothered to read all the words, I just see Goat Soundwave releases getting closer. It's Minion CD Bay. I'm like, Goat Soundwave? Like, I just skipped the Year of the part. Like, my eyes just went straight to Goat Soundwave. I'm like, Was that a typo? Is it supposed to be ghost sound wave? That makes sense if it's clear.
No, man.
And then I look back and, oh, you're of the go. Oh. They should just do ghost sound wave.
Do them in all translucent plastic as ghost sound wave, and I'd be ridiculously into that. I don't think it looks like terrible. It just to me feels like a bit of a lost potential because that copper just takes away from the effect for me.
Yeah, well, you know, goats.
I do have some bad news though. If you were thinking they're about
masters of invisibility and copper,
that's right. I got some bad news for those of you who were thinking of picking up Year of the Goat Soundwave. So Robot Kingdom, site sponsor, currently has some of those for 120 plus the crazy Robot Kingdom shipping. So apparently Toys R Us's on the shelf retail price is going to be $190.
See, do we remember how much Toys R Us was selling Masterpiece Soundwave?
It wasn't 190, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Toys R Us is getting nuts.
Yeah, especially when, I think even if you pay for like some of the crazy shipping you can pay for with Robot Kingdom, 120 plus whatever the shipping is, unless you're paying $70 shipping, and we're pretending there's no such thing as tax or customs, Toys R Us's price is pretty nuts. And I cannot fathom where that markup is coming from unless Robot Kingdom is like selling some that they got like super duper wholesale. So it certainly isn't a heavy toy. It can't cost that much to ship over.
Well, wouldn't Robot Kingdom be getting like a Japan release or an Asian Hasbro Asia release?
Yeah, yeah. But
where they're probably more reasonably priced, where Toys R Us is just doing the Toys R Us thing and going, jack the price, it's a premium thing and suckers will pay it.
Yeah, it took me a little bit to remember that, like, right now, the state of American Toys R Us is that they are playing, like, fast and loose with all their prices in the worst ways. I've been sent a lot of photos, ever since talking about it on, like, Twitter, I think, or a YouTube comment, I've gotten a lot of pictures of people who found the new Robots in Disguise toys that I bought for, like, $16-17 bucks each, priced at, like, 19-something at their local Toys R Us's, and that's insane and ridiculous. And those should shelf warm hard at that price.
Yeah. Well, like, just everything at Toys R Us seems to be, like, at least a dollar more.
Yeah.
Like, the base cost for Skylanders at Toys R Us is a dollar more than everywhere else.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah. That's why we only buy them on sale.
That's crazy. Oh, well.
So it's disappointing. And then Big Bad will get them from Toys R Us and then sell them for even more. They'll probably sell them for $210 at least, $230.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the demand, even though the cassettes look pretty cool, I don't think the demand is there to support much of a markup market on Year of the Goat right now. A lot more people are excited about the Year of the Goat Optimus because it's G2 Laser Prime with electronics intact.
That's pretty cool sounding.
But also in clear plastic with copper bits.
Uh-huh.
And his Stomp Fire missiles are hot pink, which looks kind of cool.
Is there a Chinese Zodiac relevance to copper?
I could not tell you right now off the top of my head because
it like a birthstone deal? Like, is there some Chinese thing like these metals are associated with years or something?
That's something I would put to the listeners because I'm not sure. I would assume there's some kind of color connotation because, yeah, it's like the theme seems to be clear and copper. And that's kind of a weird theme to go with. Especially trying to cast some of those parts in clear plastic. And going by the one review I saw, apparently it's a very hefty clear plastic that doesn't feel very brittle. It's only one in-hand report, but I guess we'll see when they're out. My own new picture pick is a lot less official and a lot less about goats. Seth, have I ever told you about Madlaw?
No.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about Madlaw, which is my favorite name for anything
right now.
You
couldn't have told me about this because this is like a new thing.
I know. I just wanted an excuse to say Madlaw a couple times.
Okay.
In the
You shouldn't feel like you have to manufacture artificial reasons to do things. You just go with what's natural. And
it's a natural manufacturization.
And keep it real, you know? Just gotta keep it real.
I keep it real. I keep it real. I keep it Madlaw real. So Madlaw is the fans project quick switch that we've seen at a couple of conventions and photo shoots of test shots here and there. It's apparently out this month, which is a very fans project thing to do. The pre-orders went up a couple days ago as of this recording, and apparently it'll be out within the next like 2 weeks. And the thing that surprised me, which I didn't know about, I guess I'd missed this, is that this is part of the Function X line, which means that ideally, that means it's engineered and designed by the guy doing all the Function X toys, where the main feature of them are very creative transformations. So the idea of someone that creative at figuring out foldy plastic stuff doing a six changer makes me pretty excited. The guy's name, Madlaw, this robot, has six modes, and Madlaw is an acronym for his six names. When he's a robot, he's Master V. And then his other modes are Air Striker, Dirt Driller, Laser Shot, Aeona Force, and Wood Runner. And they all have a corresponding kanji symbol to go with various elements. So it's a cool take. It looks like they got the colors pretty on par. I know that getting the colors quick switch accurate was a bit of a problem they were going through for a couple of months. But I'm really curious to see how it turns out. Quick switch like, accuracy.
I assume that the elements are air, earth, water, trees, and lasers.
Yep. Laser
the most awesome of elements.
Laser is actually using the symbol for fire, but I think as of now we can just retcon that to be the symbol for lasers.
Yeah.
The ancient Japanese symbol for lasers. Seth.
Ancient Japanese lasers. Everyone knows.
That's how they won Japan's feudal wars. That's how they
won the Shogun Showdown.
Yeah.
With lasers.
Yeah.
That's how they determined the Shogun. They would have a Shogun Showdown. Lasers. The winner is the Shogun.
Yeah, and then, you know, people there start shouting about, yeah. Seth, how do you feel about Master V, the Madlaw?
Well, I got one of those emails that Big Bad Toy Store likes to send out 20 times a day.
Oh, you pre-ordered a product once.
Yeah. Our records show that you're interested in crap we sell, so here's all the crap we got all the time. So when I first saw the email, and I just saw like the kind of small picture thumbnail from the email on my phone, I was like, are they doing a combiner? Like, that would be interesting if there was a third-party original combiner. And then I clicked through and I was like, oh, it's just a six-changer. Right. They should have done a combiner.
Well, they are, but it's not him.
Like a totally original one?
Oh, no, they're doing a Monstructor. Although, yeah,
they should do an original one.
I think that they are trying to work on some more stuff in the retro future end of things, too. But I'm not sure if that's moving at all.
Yeah.
There were some responses to this reveal, which were people saying, oh, an original character, that's great, because no one knows who Quick Switch is.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of sad, but kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, it looks interesting. Would need to see more pictures of the various modes.
Yeah.
And make sure they actually look cool, and it's not like, oh, it looks okay from this angle and looks like garbage from that angle.
There are some photos in the thread, I think. There's some more pictures coming out, but I don't know if there was like a full gallery put out with the pre-orders yet. But yeah, that's out there. That's about. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out. I really hope the engineering is impressive, like, easy example, Smart Robin. Like, take all the best parts of all the Function X toys and compact them into a toy with six modes, and I'm fanning myself. Speaking of heat, we got a little update on the Marlboro Man Masterpiece Exhaust. That's the Decepticon remold, redeco of Masterpiece Wheeljack into the Marlboro-themed smoker robot, which was under some scrutiny by the Marlboro company, which led to tons of the pre-orders for this guy disappearing because Marlboro was threatening shops that were selling it because it looked too much like their trademark company logo, their logo being a rectangle with a triangle on the bottom. So that imagery was bothering them. So we've got new pictures of Exhaust, and everywhere that he had that symbol, the two green boxes on his hood and the big white symbol on the front of his hood, those all used to be triangles in rectangles, and they're all squared off. All the triangles are gone. Also, the Lancia on the rear of the car and the red part of his rear fender is now black text instead of white text. And pre-orders for him have reappeared everywhere, because apparently Marlboro is now happy. And naturally, because triangles were taken away from the Masterpiece toy and he's no longer carrying the Marlboro logo, there have been throwdowns on the message board. People are mad. People are mad on the internet. But Seth, are you mad on the internet?
No, I'm mad in real life. I think it's a little weak that they had to make the changes. It's interesting that because this problem wasn't going to affect sales in Japan, right? Just for exports?
I honestly don't know, actually.
The impression I got initially was it was just going to be a problem for selling it outside of Japan. I could be wrong on that.
That's what I had assumed, but
if that was the case, then clearly Takara Tomy has some sort of expectation about selling masterpieces outside of Japan and didn't want to lose that market.
Yeah, and I also believe there's a chance that Marlboro may have found a way to threaten them domestically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that the details of that will not come out anytime soon.
Well, they threatened that they were going to take away their Shogunate by bringing more powerful lasers.
That's right. Marlboro's secret laser weaponry.
Yeah.
Sorry, armory. Was on the coast of Japan. We had World War III about to happen. So thank goodness Takara Tomy prevented that with simple diplomacy.
Yeah, everyone thought World War III was going to be nuclear bombs, but no.
Oh, Shogun lasers.
Shogun lasers.
My first thought looking at this is Repro Labels will have a field day setting up an array of labels to add triangles back to the toy.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't actually look this up, but on Twitter, Nickbot was telling me that some self-proclaimed Repro Labels experts were saying there's no way Repro Labels will touch that. But if Repro Labels only has to make a sticker sheet that has nondescript triangles on it, I don't see personally where the problem is. But then again, I don't work in that industry. I don't work in the areas where I could get legally threatened by Marlboro. So if it can't happen, it can't happen. But if it can happen, I'm sure Repro Labels is just waiting to get at this thing and figure out how to re-triangulize and re-Marlboroize Exhaust.
Yeah, the new color scheme, it's close enough to where I think it still serves as a reference to the original Diaclone figure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still kind of disappointing that they had to back down and make the changes.
Yeah.
And screw Marlboro anyway. They're cancer merchants.
Yeah, to hell with Marlboro forever, for years, past, present, and future. I have no respect or sympathy for them in any way, shape, or form. At least they didn't touch the head sculpt. To be honest, that was my favorite thing about Exhaust, was his head sculpt, and he still has it.
That would have been really bizarre.
Yeah, well, they're like, there's triangles!
If Marlboro was like, really, we're not concerned with the colors and the shape. We just want a head that more better represents our product.
And also, if you could take the number off of this Masterpiece release, because some of us are actually Masterpiece collectors, it kind of offends us. This non-canon character is getting a numbered release in the line. Thank you. So that's a little update on Exhaust. Also, his release date and Star Saber's release date have been altered. They are now both releasing on March 21st. Exhaust was going to come out in February, I believe, and Star Saber is going to come out earlier in March. Seems they're pushing both back. Exhaust clearly due to having to change the Tampa graphing and whatnot. And they're simul-releasing on March 21, so if you pre-ordered both, you're going to have a happy day, end of March.
Ooh. And a March party.
That's right. March party with cigarettes and swords. Proper
and lasers.
And lasers. Proper Japanese March party. Seth, I forgot if you were interested in Exhaust at all outside of when I brought him up.
I had never planned on getting it, just in kind of a money saving way of thinking, but
yeah,
as soon, like, I always liked the idea that they were doing it, I just didn't feel like I needed it. Then when all the hullabaloo started, then I was like, I kind of want it more now. But now that they're making changes to it, it's like, yeah, I'll go back to the I don't really need it mode.
Yeah, I, because I've been dropping a lot of pre-orders and just holding off on things until they actually come out, and I've been starting to teeter now that it, because I was holding on to my Exhaust pre-order. I want to get him either way, but I was holding on the pre-order because I was like, is this the only way I'm going to get him for a reasonable price? But now if he's going to be more widely released, I'm going to see what money looks like come March, because I have a cancelable, like a safely cancelable HLJ pre-order.
Yeah.
That said, I expect he'll probably sell through pretty well because he looks really cool. There are just some angry people with numerical shelving that don't like him for the most part. Aggressively don't like him. Seth, we have a listener question from Cryoprime.
Let's hear it.
He says hello and hey to all of us. He actually says hey to us. I implied the hello. He's been listening to the podcast for a long time and figured he'd ask a question, prompt a discussion topic that's been developing over the last few years here. He's an art student in my tongue didn't work. How's that? How do y'all like that? Good. Cryoprime is an art student in Connecticut. And they had a visiting artist come in who was discussing about how he's slowly moving towards developing a lot of his sculptures using 3D modeling and producing them through Shapeways and MakerBot. That artist's name is Emil Alzamora. Cryoprime was very surprised to hear that a quote-unquote fine artist was using these 3D printing venues for creating art. It's very exciting to him as an artist and art student and a fan of toys and collecting to see how these two seemingly different groups are converging to create something that he thinks is very forward-thinking. So the question for us is, if someone were to create sculptures based on Transformers, be it 3D printed, either through Hasbro's approval or otherwise, would you consider buying them? What kinds of characters and in what styles would you like to see? There's also a link to Emil Alzamora's website. It's not Transformers related, it's just a whole bunch of 3D sculpturing, 3D printed sculpturing. If I forget to put that link in the thread, someone remind me. Cryoprime says, thanks for reading my question, and I hope this is as interesting to you as it is to me, Cody. So, to me, it's pretty interesting, and I'm not surprised, because I consider a lot of independent toy work to be pretty much like a form of art, and once you end up in a setup where you are proficient enough to do some of your sculpting, you know, digitally, and then render it, or at least prototype it, or see what it looks like as shapes through 3D printing, it feels like a streamlined process. It feels like a way to also save on some materials costs. And even if you're going to do a proper sculpture, I know it's not unheard of to prototype kind of the rough shape of a sculpture, just to get a look at and a feel of what it'll look like physically before going at it properly. As for sculptures based on Transformers, I believe that is actually fully sanctioned through Hasbro's super fan art thing they're doing on Shapeways right now. I believe Trent Troop of BMOG and Play With This 2 has, among other things, he has a sculpture available on his Shapeways page of Bob the Insecticon from IDW Comics. It's just like a sandstone, colored sandstone print, one piece, but it's there. And it looks pretty cool. On a good day, I'd probably pick up something if it really caught my eye. I just wanted to, you know, have a good pose and look nice. That's really about it for me. But Seth, in the world of 3D printing, where do you stand, art or otherwise?
Well, as far as what I want, something like that, I have not made a secret that I'm not interested in statues. So already kind of not interested in that idea. But as far as an artist, like a fine artist as they were referenced to as being, I'm not surprised that someone would start using 3D printers because it's just like another form of medium to work in. I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't think it's impressive if somebody's doing that, but it's like, okay, it's just another way to work. Make your work. I mean, they're still creating the thing in 3D software.
Yeah.
Just not physically creating the three-dimensional thing. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I don't know. I guess it's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like somebody that works in marble looking down their nose at someone that carves, grizzly bears out of logs with a chainsaw. It's just another way to make a sculpture.
Yeah, if he's getting, like, maybe an impression from, you know, the folks that he's learning from or learning with, that there is a, you know, look down your nose divide at the idea of 3D printing your sculptures as opposed to crafting them by hand. That just feels like a real old timey thought process that needs to go away. It is an outdated thought process, in my opinion. It's the same thing as people who go like, I digital colorists are garbage. Hand coloring is only true art. It's like, no, it's all true art. A digital medium is a different medium. End of line. That's it. It's just a different medium. Because there are some people who would take, like, your example of, like, you know, marble sculpture versus chainsaw sculpture, and they'd be like, well, that's different because that's in real life. And that's digital. And I have seen once or twice that thought process, and I entirely disagree with it. The idea that somehow the medium is lesser for being digital. That's ridiculous to me. But then again, I was born in the 80s, so maybe as a millennial, it's less ridiculous to me than for someone who's been working their trade as an artist for many decades longer than that. But yeah, it's all art. I'm currently doing a 3D modeling for Shapeways thing that Wulong T is putting on, and I'm trying to make cubes and rectangles that are three-dimensional in SketchUp, and working digitally in 3D is something I have a lot of trouble wrapping my brain around, because it's a 3D thing that I'm manipulating on a 2D display, and there's a lot of guides that help you, but the actual process of, like, all right, there is a third axis, and I just have to remember it's here. Like, I find it really hard when I can't just reach out and grab the object.
Yeah, I've always been a little harder time rendering things in three dimensions, either on a computer or trying to make a sculpture. I was always better drawing freehand than trying to make three-dimensional objects. But my only kind of hesitation at the idea of using 3D printers with sculpting, like via a MakerBot or using a Shapeways to do the printing, is the limitations of those 3D printers. And I don't, it almost seems like, I think it's smart if you're a sculptor to experiment with that stuff and see what you can do. I just wonder if, like, the current capabilities of a MakerBot is really going to let you do anything better than just doing it with your hands.
Yeah, like
clay or something else.
Like the whole prototyping thing I was talking about, I could see 3D printing, like, quickly, even now, becoming part of the process, less so, like, the medium itself. Like, you know, like, I'm going to print a couple of the basic shapes I know in the dimensions I want to do them, and I'm going to, like, glue them together after I print them and see what it looks like, and see if it's what I want to actually do. Yeah, you know, all those things have limitations. Like 3D printers, like a MakerBot, you can't print something with overhanging detail unless you lay it down in the printer digitally in a very specific way. The upside being you just have to push the button, print it, and if you don't like how it looks, you can tweak the soft digital model without having to make permanent changes to your one and only hard copy if you're, say, working in clay or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's all give and take. But it's an interesting question, and I'm always excited to talk about 3D printing stuff as a complete and utter layman who doesn't really actually follow news or information about it, aside from when toys happen. It's an exciting technology. Anyway, thanks for your listener question, Cryo Prime. We're going to take a quick break and then come back with some hopscotch hot doggin' what we got this week. I was going somewhere with that and I don't know what happened. But we're going to take a break and we'll be back to talk about toys, because that's what we do.
At 9:17 this morning, the future arrived years earlier than predicted. What? People across the globe are reacting with a mixture of surprise and anticipation. The future. What is it?
High-speed internet. Faster downloads.
It's a video mail.
Pero gracias, futuro, puedo tener la televisión.
Well, Mark Hamill, you're affiliated with the future. What say you?
If this is the future, I gotta say we're a little bit disappointed.
But without the aliens, I mean it's...
Children will grow up never having to rush home to watch a show. The whole cartoon paradigm is shifting.
Wait till the aliens get here. I'm happy with the, with the high def.
And the movies on demand.
The paradox is that the future helps us better understand the past.
Documentaries on demand, so forth.
There's the future, uh-huh. And then there's the future.
So, well, which
and
one
this,
are we?
This is the future.
The future of television and internet is here. Good night, America. Comcast. It's Comcastic.
Hey, everyone. We're back. And I have a quick update because I got a couple Twitter messages about it because people found it. But I have been hooked up with that little Lego polybag rocket raccoon. At least I think I have been. So I'm not looking for him anymore. But thank all of you. Way more than three or four of you for messaging me saying you found one and wanting to know if I still needed it. That's really cool. So the network worked. Also, apparently he was in more places than I thought. But no, me and Beard Ian have been hooked up by yet another Ian. So that's all settled as far as I know. Unless it's just a big bag of anthrax is what I'm going to get. I'm not sure. But we're here to talk about toys that we got this week in our little section that we call What We Got This Week. Seth, did you Transformer at all after our Combiner Wars rundown?
Yeah, I got the Masterpiece Ultra Magnuson.
Oh!
I opened them up. I mess with them a bit in robot mode. I haven't gotten a chance to transform them yet.
Ah, no worries.
Been a busy week. But he's really big and rad in robot mode, so that's cool.
Yeah, he's a cool toy. I really like the presentation of him when you pull him out of the box, and it's just like it's a tray with him and his gun, and then there's a couple little accessories on the bottom, but like 99% of that toy is just Ultra Magnus.
And he comes with two Daniels.
Yeah.
So there's 86 movie Daniel and season 3 Daniel, which is about a year older, so that's why he's a little taller. They're never going to do a Spike, just nothing but Daniels.
So some was pointed out that I had completely missed. I never actually looked at the box, but despite every piece of paperwork implying that Bumblebee came with Daniel, the back of the box says something about Spike. So I don't even know.
The Bumblebee box?
Yeah, the Bumblebee box. It's all in like katakana, but it says like Supaiku something something something. So I don't know anymore. They're the Witwicky. That's what that stuff is. They all look the same. Friggin' Witwickies.
Yeah, but it's cool, including the Witwickies.
You can store them on his robot mode in the spot where they sit in vehicle mode.
Yeah.
And then they end up upside down, rammed up his butt.
Yep.
I like that.
Exciting. And then I haven't bothered taking the face off yet, but apparently there's a Optimus-style face hidden.
There's a surprise inside.
Underneath. Yeah. So I guess that's a thing they do now, hiding faces under faces.
Yeah. That interface is actually a plate of die-cast that includes the antenna. which is kind of cool. It means his antenna will probably not snap anytime soon.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's those little, let's call them Easter eggs, are fun.
Yeah.
Like when they did with, I'm gonna sneeze.
Oh! Gazoon tight! Gazoon tight!
I'm muted.
I know.
So yeah, like they did with Wheeljack.
Yeah.
It's just a fun little thing.
There's a little Jamie Hyneman face in there.
Yeah, and when I was opening up, my goofy roommate was hanging around, and he's like, "Oh, what are there big things on your shoulders?" And it's like, I don't know, dude. Like, they know called... something about Transformers. Like, every time I open up a Transformer on G, he asks a dopey question. Like, when he thought Silverbolt was Jetfire because they're both white jets, and he's like, "That's the exact same thing you already have." No, it isn't. You don't know nothing. Go play Magic.
Those shoulder things are called the Magnus Stacks. There you go. They're where he keeps his excess Magnus.
Yeah, I don't hassle you because all your Magic cards are rectangular cardboard pieces.
Hey, is that a Black Lotus? Every time he opens a booster, hey, is that a Black Lotus? I heard that's the rarest card.
He doesn't open cards around here.
Is that an Alpha Black Lotus?
If he does, he does it up in his room.
It's knock on his door. Hey. You pass. Pull an Alpha Black Lotus?
Slide a note under the door. The drawing of a Black Lotus.
Did you get one of these? It's called a Black Lotus. I heard it's rare. And that's how I got thrown out of the card game store. I don't really have any new Transformer stuff to talk about myself. I've been messing a little bit more with the Alternity GTs, because I'm planning to get rid of them. So I want to film a little bit more footage for them and pass them along. They're in my sales thread, because there's too much Alternity around here. But I don't have anything new to talk about Transformers-wise. I haven't seen any of the hot, fresh RID stuff locally.
Hot, fresh.
And everyone is telling me I need to get Grimlock. So I plan to once I see him in person. For the RID stuff, I've kind of drawn a line of, like, I want to just stumble upon it. But now I'm starting to discover it may, in fact, be cheaper to buy it online than at any retail stores, depending where I go. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Oh, I'm seeing Combiner War stuff everywhere around here now.
Really?
Like, I never would see new stuff this soon, but it's, like, all over the place. Everything except for the Voyagers. I haven't seen the Voyagers anywhere.
Aw. Like,
the Rhinox wave of Voyagers is still clogging up everywhere. I've seen Skybite and Roadbuster, like, once at Kmart. Otherwise, when I see Voyagers, it's Rhinox. And who came with Rhinox?
Double Dealer, I think.
Double Dealer?
Thank you. Yeah. I think he shipped with him. You know what? I don't know if I talked about it now that I'm thinking about it. I got the Japanese version of Skybite through the shifty eBay auction scene where I could get it for about slightly cheaper than buying the regular Skybite locally. So I got the Japanese deco that's a bit fancier and looks more like car robots. But I'd also never messed with the toy. I don't remember if I talked about it at all. But it's an interesting, fairly flawed toy, but it's kind of charming. I would definitely say don't pay more than $20-some for it. It ain't worth that much. Needs a wrist swivel. Something fierce.
Fearsome wrist swivel.
Ah, wrist swivels, man. He's got an inward bending elbow and it sucks. And it looks really goofy on him. Seth, I want to ask you another question. Did you do anything off topic this week?
No. No new toys. Besides that. Transformer guy. I have been spending a lot more time with the WWE Network, which I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to encounter some of the limitations of how the network works. That could use some work. The things that search, being able to search, need some work. Like I'm listening to Chris Jericho's podcast, and he has Paige on. Like, this is an older one. I'm listening to an older episode. And she's talking about, like, the first time she won the title. And I thought, well, this is interesting having her tell the story. Maybe I want to watch this match. And I'm listening at work. I'm like, when I get to my lunch break, I'm going to search, and I'm going to see if I can find the match. So I go to the search, and I type in Paige, and no results. I'm like, well, maybe she spelled it weird. So I look at my iPod at the Jericho episode, and I'm like, no, I spelled it like it's spelled here. So I'm like, well, she fought AJ Lee in that, and maybe they just haven't gotten around to tagging her in any matches, so she doesn't come up in searches. So I search for AJ Lee, and there's like a billion results for the AJ Lee, and I'm scrolling through, and then I come into this like patch of like 10 AJ Lee versus Paige things. I'm like, well, why aren't these coming up when I search for Paige? Paige's name is in the title of these videos. I don't understand what's going on.
That's screwed up.
Yeah, and how they mark, like when you go to a pay-per-view or what have you, and they have their little time markers along the progress bar for that show. You get a dot that signifies the start of a match and a dot that marks the end. And when you search, if like one of those matches comes up, that's the start point from the search. And they're all marked, the starts, to like right before the bell rings, so you don't get the entrances. So you would have to rewind a ways and try to find the entrance.
It's just like a bother then.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't care about the entrances, then you're probably not worried about it, but... You know, sometimes I want to see those entrances. Like, I want to see what crazy things this guy does when he comes out.
Yeah.
And there's no way to search for, like, promos or anything. Which I started thinking was interesting, because here you got Vince McMahon, who for years now won't say the words pro wrestling in relation to the WWE. Like, that interview he did recently with Steve Austin. Austin tried like two or three times to get him to say the words pro wrestling, and McMahon wouldn't say the words. He only says sports entertainment. But when you search for stuff on the network, you can't search for any of the entertainment. You only get the wrestling.
Yeah.
So
that's goofy.
Yeah. And you know, it's relatively a new service. But those are things that I hope that they would work on going down the road.
Yeah. Nah, it's a shame, because that doesn't give it a leg up on YouTube, where you can just go like, I want to see when the guy said something crazy, like Sparkle Dynamite Sharks.
Yeah.
Search for Macho Man Sparkle Dynamite Sharks. Get the famous promo where he's like, Sparkle Dynamite Sharks!
Cup of coffee!
Yeah.
what was the other point I was going to make? Oh, yeah, and then... So my girlfriend and I, we've been working our way through all the Royal Rumbles. So as of last night, we're up to the year 2007.
Mm.
That's the last one we watched, was 2007. And there's a point where 2007 should be the last Rumble that does this. But as you're like jumping through the show, like, you could just, like, jump through the matches, like, if you don't care about the undercard. And, like, we'll take a look, like, oh, what's this? Ah, just jump to the end and then get to the Rumble itself. There's a few years of Rumbles where there's no time markers for the start and finish of the Rumble. And at first I thought, well, this is weird. And then I started figuring it out. And it's because any match that includes Chris Benoit has no markers to it whatsoever. So you cannot jump to or search for any match with Chris Benoit in it.
That's just kind of... I understand the reasoning, but it also just feels super weird. Because it's like, end of the day, this is supposed to be archival.
Yeah, and it's the matches are still in there. They still say his name. It's not like they pixelate his face and beep his name out.
Yeah.
So it's still there. I don't know what they think they're hiding or why they think hiding it makes a difference if it's still in there. I don't know. But it's a weird thing. Like, yeah, that's a dark, gross piece of the history, but it still exists.
Yeah. That's weird.
Then, like, I tweeted about it. I ended up getting hashtagged bring back Benoit. And then, like, I researched the hashtag and I'm like, I don't want to be part. I'm not interested in being part of a movement. Like, because it is gross and unpleasant. And I don't know.
It's like, I don't want to be associated with this thing. I just had a question.
Yeah, there's some limitations to the network, some things I think they could improve. But for the most part, like, it's been fun, like, these last few weeks having it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten me interested in some current storyline stuff that I never thought I would care about again. So, yeah, I guess the pattern of my life is to step away from wrestling for a period of time and then eventually get sucked back in until I fade away from it again for a while.
Well, at least you get to play around in the network. I'm still stuck having to pirate things like a Canadian. I actually got an off-topic toy I could talk about a little bit. Seth, I don't know if you ever heard of a little thing. It's a formative part of my childhood. Have you ever heard of the Gaiva?
Sounds familiar.
It's the Gaiver, not MacGyver, the Gaiver.
Gaiver, yeah.
So Figma, which is a toy line done by Max Factory, finally released Figma Gaiver 1. So Max Factory did a devoted series of posable Gaiver figures some years ago, and I was never able to get any of them because they were all kind of expensive and all kind of hard to get, and it turns out they were also all kind of fragile and easy to break. So this is a new Figma Gaiver 1, which is hopefully the start of something more regular, because I love the Gaiver, and I've always wanted a good posable Gaiver toy. And going by Suribot's report, Suribot on Twitter has got the Max Factory non-Figma Gaiver one. From what I understand, the disappointment that he had with the Figma is that it's a lot shorter than the old ones they were doing, but it also is like 100 times more durable. So playing with it myself, I love it. It's what I wanted. I almost want to try to get a hold of a second one so I can really fearlessly just, like, have this Gaiver 1 action figure on my desk at all times, and not worry about breaking anything. But nothing feels very fragile. Like, the big fin on his head, I'm sure if, you know, I throw him at a wall head first, it might snap off, so I'm not gonna. Easy solution. He's got short little blades in his elbows, and they're swappable for the big long one that's featured on that photograph on the product page. And he just feels really good, and his posability is super well done. And and the paintwork, materials use, and sculpt on the head is, like, legitimately gorgeous. I'm in love with this figure. Like, the posability of his torso and his neck is deceptively deep, and it's really cool. The only problem I've had is it can be a little hard to get him to look up and in a direction. When his head tilts back, it doesn't really like to turn from side to side without being at a weird cocked angle. Naturally, you can open his pectorals to unload the Mega Smasher laser, and you get an alternate set of pecs that are a little bit more compressed so he can cross his arms in front of his own chest and shoot a gravity burst. Sorry, a pressure cannon. I forgot what the gravity burst was. But I'm super stoked about this toy. It's really well done. And I really hope they at least do Gaiver 3 as well.
I like that little stand thing he comes with.
That's the Figma stand. All Figmas come with that.
No, the Good Smile online bonus.
Oh, I forgot about that. So mine doesn't have that because I got mine from AmiAmi. But yeah, that's just like a cardboard printed backdrop and top sheet.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Never mind then. Stupid.
It might come with the square stage too. I'm not sure, but they have a square stage that's all attached to called the die stage, which is like it has like slots so you can slip printed card backdrops into it and floors into it to give it like more thematic effect. But he does come with a little stand that he's attached to in a lot of the photos, which is helpful. But yeah, I love this figure. I'm so happy, and all I want now. And I don't even know if it's feasible. I would like them or Bandai to do a similar figure, but based on the live-action Guyver suit from Guyver 2 Dark Hero, where David Hayter, a young David Hayter, plays the Guyver in live-action. It's a pretty fun movie. Don't watch the first Guyver live-action movie, though. That is complete steaming garbage. That's about it for my off-topic what I got stuff. I also cleared all the challenges in Binding of Isaac Rebirth. So I did that today. I got that today. Working my way towards Platinum God in that game. But that's about it for me, I think. Anything else on your end, Seth?
Not really that I could think of. It's been kind of slow around here. Busy working.
Yeah. And it's gonna be slow news here and there, because I think we're just kind of charging our batteries for the Toy Fair rush. But yeah, if there's nothing else, I think that about does it for this week of WTF at TFW. As always, head by the thread, drop some comments, yell about how we aren't covering the rumors. You're welcome to. Although I might forget that I told you can do that, so I apologize if I get salty. But I really want to save a lot of that stuff for when we have solid pictures of things. And then anything that was rumored that doesn't show up at Toy Fair, we'll probably end up talking about, you know, once we get into the Toy Fair stuff. But I think it's all going to be a mood thing. Like, we'll get into the groove and we'll just yammer it out. Hot style. In the meantime, Seth's phone vibrated. I could tell. Because I'm in the room with him! What?
This whole episode, I've been getting a flurry of text messages from my dad about my iPad don't work. I'm like, try this, doesn't work. Try this, doesn't work. I don't know, man. Learn how to use electronics.
Something, turn it on, off, and then on again. Something.
Well, I guess yesterday, for a few hours in the afternoon, PlayStation Network was down for some upgrades on their end. And then I was getting all these messages from my dad. PlayStation doesn't work. I can't watch Netflix. I can't watch YouTube. I can't blah, blah, blah. I'll look into it. Oh, they're doing network stuff. It should be fine tomorrow. Now my iPad doesn't work. I don't know, man.
Sarasota, Florida.
Whoa,
Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah, phone's freaking out. I'm sorry, listeners. I've been distracted.
That's all right. I have
parental tech support.
I came into this podcast with a splitting headache. It's a little bit better, but I think I want to go and cook some chicken and have a seat for a little while. So thank you, Seth. I'll talk to you again, and we'll talk to all of you out there very soon. So good night and take care.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators and they're here to stay.